Canada's Liberal government has tabled its first budget since the former governor of the Bank of England, Mark Carney, came to power in Ottawa. The country's finance minister, François-Philippe Champagne, says the budget will help Canada loosen its reliance on its longtime trade ally and neighbour, the United States, in the wake of the ongoing trade war.
When your largest trading partner fundamentally reshapes all of its trading relationship, there are two responses. You can slash the deficit, hope for the best, wait for the uncertainty to unexpectedly disappear. That approach to balance the budget this year would have to eliminate vital social programs and all the capital investments needed for Canada's future.
The minority government still needs to win a vote of confidence to pass the budget. Joining me is Don Drummond, economist who previously worked over two decades in senior positions in the Department of Finance in Canada and as chief economist at Toronto Dominion Bank. I spoke with him a short time ago.
Thank you very much.
The Canadian government is calling this a transformational and generational budget. Is that an accurate description in your view?
It's a real puzzle to me, having seen the document, why they hyped it up that way. It is a big budget in terms of there's lots of action, mostly on the spending side, but it's not an historic standards. It's not particularly big. In terms of the challenges Canada faces, ongoing weakness of productivity, perhaps a loss of relatively free access to the U.S. market, you might call the combination of that an outright crisis. Does it embrace that, acknowledge we have a crisis? Does it present a path out of it? No, I don't think it does. It has some measures that help go in the right direction, but it's not particularly bold and it's not particularly different than what we've seen from not the government under the current prime minister, but the Liberal Party for the last several years.
What's the dashboard look like for the Canadian economy right now with things like inflation, unemployment, debt, growth and so on? How are things going?
Well, we've got one long-standing problem that we've never been able to shake, and that's our weak productivity growth. If we go back to the early 1960s when the Organization for Economic Cooperation Development started, we were the third highest level of productivity out of the then 24 members, and now we're right around the middle, and we're sinking down a couple of positions. We're around 30th out of 38 OECD countries over the last 20 years in productivity growth. So that's not good, and that's certainly depressing our real wages. And then late on top of that, in the last 6 months, we've got a clear sign that we may not have relatively free access to our big market. And keep in mind that over three quarters of our merchandise exports go to one single market, that being the United States. We still have about 90% of our exports are going tariff-free under the existing Canada-US-Mexico trade agreement, but that is now up to review. And of course, any party, and most likely to be the United States, can walk away from it at any time. So we have allowed ourselves to become extraordinarily dependent on the U.S. market, and that access is threatened, and us Australians will know it's not that easy to crack into other markets and instantaneously have a profitable venture with them. China's tough to trade with. India's tough to trade with. A lot of the European countries, they need our natural resources, but it's difficult for us to ship them. A lot of the other products we make, they don't particularly need.
How is that impact being felt by ordinary Canadians?
At the moment, they're feeling it in a loss of employment. Employment has been relatively flat as opposed to going down. Our unemployment rate has crept up, but it's not particularly high by historical standards. We had a burst of output growth in the first quarter, but that was companies, both foreign and Canadian, racing to do exports before the tariffs hit. And we had a fairly sharp decline in our real gross domestic product in the second quarter. So the economy is relatively weak. It's not yet terrible, but I think Canadians are very concerned if they look beyond what's happening right at the moment. And look at, we had a fairly successful economic model. Thanks to the United States, that model is not going to work, probably for a while at least. And it's not that easy to put in place a completely different model. And the government has done some steps, but I would say they haven't gone nearly far enough.
There is a shift towards attracting capital investment. Do you think that strategy will boost the economy much?
Well, the first step they're doing at capital is public borrowing and public expenditure. The vast bulk of the effort is for the government infrastructure, transportation, trying to get better transportation to get our natural resources to market, that sort of thing. We're putting a lot of money into housing. We always had a housing shortage. It got exacerbated by the government just let the immigration system run totally out of control for a couple of years. We were bringing in over 1 million people per year out of a population base of just over 40 million, and that exacerbated the housing shortage. So they're doing a lot of public expansions there. Not that much is done in the budget, in my mind, to attract more business investment, and that is the toughest challenges at the moment. Business investment in Canada has been weak since at least 2015, and you have to ask yourself, if Canadian businesses weren't investing when they thought they had relatively easy access to the U.S. market, how are they going to invest now when they think that they don't have that access and don't have a ready substitute yet in mind? And I don't think the budget has cracked through that challenge.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast, and my guest is a Canadian economist, Don Drummond. Tell me a bit, Don, about the Canadian government's plan to create a sovereign fund for critical minerals, which they're hoping will encourage investment in that sector.
Well, we're fortunate that we have some. We don't have the type of stock that China has, but we do have more than most countries. It is still unknown of exactly how much we have and the nature of what we have. There was a huge amount of excitement in Canada about 10 years ago in Northern Ontario, what has become called the Ring of Fire. It's sort of like the equivalent, really, to some of the north central areas in Australia, that we believe there's an enormous amount of minerals there, but we still don't know the extent of it. We don't know the value of it, and they're very isolated, and there's really no transportation into them. We have a very long and difficult approval process. The government is putting emphasis on doing that, but we have to keep in mind we have three levels of government. We have Indigenous partners, which is particularly important for the critical minerals because, as I said, they're isolated, but there are Indigenous people living there. They will have to be part of the workforce, but it is, in some cases, near their on their land or on their traditional lands. So there's many, many layers to it. And at the moment, it's taking 15 to 20 years to get approval for projects. And maybe they can shorten it, but that may only go from like 20 to 15. These are not going to be, we should do it, and there's not a reason not to do it, but these are not short-term solutions.
Don Drummond, thank you very much for being my guest this morning.
You're welcome.